the book of Joshua, if you, those of you that can and would like to, the book of Joshua, chapter number 2. And for sake of time, I've already read several things this morning. I want to reiterate on a few things. Maybe been somebody here tonight, wasn't here this morning, and give some background. We just try to get back into preaching. The book of Joshua, chapter number 2. And verse number 18, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house in the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and will be guiltless." And I like this Bible word. "Whosoever shall be within the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. If thou utter this our business, then we'll be quiet of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." She sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Thank you for standing tonight of honoring the reading of the word of God. Father, we love you. Sure do thank you for the good day that you've given us. Thank you for the good Spirit of God that's here in our presence tonight. Lord, I pray for all of our preacher friends that are standing. Pray, God, you would help them. Lord, all the prayers that's been asked in our prayer room, touch them and help them. I pray, Lord, that you'd make a way for Brother Josh and Miss Amber in the Philippines there this morning. God, as they're about to go to try to get tickets home, I pray that you would do your marvelous work like only you can do and provide a way for them to get home. And Lord, we want to pray for those in our church tonight that have that special need of a touch. God, help them. I pray if there'd be one here lost this evening, God, you'd convict their heart and you'd show them the cross before it's too late. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Well, we'll pick up tonight in Joshua 2 and verse number 1. We're preaching on the thought on what a report to be a Rahab. What a report to be a Rahab. We've seen this morning that Moses now has left and Joshua has picked up command. God's told them they're going into Jericho and they're going to capture that city. The Bible told them that they were to march around Jericho one time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they would march around it, and the seventh time, the priests would blow with the trumpets and the people would have a great shout and the walls would fall down flat. Now Joshua, being a military man, a lot of people's given him a lot of discredit about what he's done and verses 1 and 2, but he sent some spies ahead to spy out the land. I don't think there's nothing wrong with having good common sense. Matter of fact, we're missing that in the day and hour that we live. But he sent some folks ahead to see what they were up against. And so he comes in chapter 2, verse 1, "Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Now, we talked this morning on there was a searching for faith. I'm glad God's looking for somebody that'll have faith. Can I tell you, you'll never please God except by faith. If you want to please Him tonight, then live by faith. Faith is never convenient. And I can tell you this, many times faith is never practical because God asks many times many things that only faith can do. His math is not our math. Our 2 and 2 adds 4, but God's 2 feeds 5,000. God does so many things that it requires faith. Now we've seen He's searching for somebody with faith. He allowed some messengers to come in there into a harlot's house by name of Rahab. We've seen her secluded residence. There she lived in a town of Jericho. All through the Bible, It will always refer to Jericho as a type of the world. Boy, we live in Jericho, down in Bowden, Georgia. Never been times this dark. Never seen. Matter of fact, we as a church, we are in uncharted waters. We are sailing through places and times that God's people has never sailed through. But God said for us not to get real excited. He said, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now they're here upon us. And so we live in Jericho. Aren't you glad that God can give a word down in Jericho? Notice her secluded residence, but secondly, her sinful reputation. Now we see the Bible says that they went into a harlot's house. We could have very easily said that went into a doper's house, or into a thief's house, or into a liar's house. We love to try to stack up sin and number them. But, you know, I know the Bible speaks of he that had the greater sin. Speaking of Judas Iscariot, and certainly there's a total different sermon there. But let me tell you, sin is sin, and sin is bad. And sin is addictive, and sin always causes problems. And I've noticed this in my life, the more sin I do, the more that God gets upset about. God's not going to let His young'uns just do anyway. You always remember that. But certainly here, the Bible said that they went into a harlot's house named Rahab. Well, tonight, if you're here and you've never been saved, and maybe the devil's always telling you something about, well, you've done this and he can't forgive you of that, and you've done this and nobody likes you. And to be honest with you, the reason a lot of us have got the name we've got, we never was caught with it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, that God will forgive you, but a lot of times people will never forgive you. And so there, this stayed upon Rahab a long time. Remember Simon the leper? Oh, he got cured, but he was known as Simon the leper. Boy, aren't you glad God will forgive you things that people won't? Amen. And so her sinful reputation, but there's a verse, and you don't have to go there, in 1 Timothy 1:15, Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, I don't know why a church gets so upset when sinners come in the door. Amen. I seen some people at a funeral today. I wish they'd come to Liberty Baptist Church and get in on some preaching. Can I tell you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be way out there tonight. So I would be careful about how that I label sinners and how they do and how they act, because many times they're only doing as sinners do. They're being a sinner. Now, when we become a child of God, God requires more out of me and you. And when we sin, God requires repentance from us in our lives. But certainly we ought to be careful about how we label people. Certainly we find here her sinful reputation. Aren't you glad Jesus came to save sinners? And if you're a sinner tonight, let me tell you, that's why He left a wonderful place, to get on a bad place, to forgive me and you of our sins. And so He's searching for somebody with faith. He sent in some messengers in there. Aren't you glad there was a sovereign God that did some things when you really didn't know much about Him? God allowed somebody to come in your life to tell you a gospel story. And we see here her secluded residence, her sinful reputation, but her social reception. You know what she told these spies? She said, y'all come on in the house. And then that's the searching for her faith. God's looking for somebody to believe in Him. I hope He helped somebody this morning. He sure did help me. Church, we need to believe in Him again. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. The devil loves to kick us in a well and cover us up and tell us it's too hard for the Lord. But there's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's a searching of her faith, and there's the stirring of her faith. Verses 9 through 11, she heard a confronting message. She said to the men, "I know the Lord hath given you the land, and your terrors followed upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land, they faint because of you. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the waters." I'm glad I heard a confronting message. I'm glad I heard about what a God used to do, so it would require me to put my faith in on. So now tonight, I don't have to know about what a God used to do. I'm glad I'm pastoring a church to know what God does tonight. I'm glad I'm not in a church. I got to read about what God used to do. But we can see tonight what God does in the day and hour that we live. I'm amazed what He done here this morning. The devil told me 45 lies. And you know something? God let me believe Him again. And I praise Him for letting him believe Him again. I praise Him for it. I mean, isn't that just like God? When you're down on faith, He'll come by and let you believe in Him again and prove Himself faithful. God is faithful. So we see this confronting message. Then it was a convicting message. Verse 11, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. So that's what we're missing in our churches. Hearts melting. We've got a head knowledge of God, but it's not many got a heart knowledge. Oh, how we need the Holy Ghost to melt our hearts in this day and this hour. The stirring of her faith. It was a confronting message. It was a convicting message, but it was a convincing message. The Bible said in verse number 11, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Can I tell you, He's God everywhere tonight? There's no place that He ain't God. He's God in heaven above. He's in God in earth beneath. Psalmist David said, "And why, if I lay down even in the belly of hell," said the Lord's there too. He said, "No place I can't go that He ain't God." There's no place you can go tonight that He's not God. Now, sure am glad we serve that kind of God. The stirring of her faith. Number two, the saving of her faith. Now, verse number 11, she had a belief. Now, a lot of commentators, they differ on when this woman believed in God. Many think that maybe she had heard about God, and before the messengers came, she had already got saved. I don't know when she got saved, but I'm getting to the last point in a minute to tell you, this girl got saved by the sweet grace of God. And you know, it's sort of like Zacchaeus. Remember, he climbed up a tree that day because he couldn't see for the crowd. And the Lord said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Did he get saved on that top limb or that middle limb? That day I stepped out of the third bench over there to the altar. Did I get saved at the third bench or the first bench? I tell you, neighbor, when I got saved, when my heart melted and my heart turned toward the Savior, and blessed be His name tonight, I'm glad He's still in the saving business. And so here we see this stirring of her faith, but now the saving of her faith. She believed that He was God. And then we see, no doubt, her behavior in verse 12. Said, "I want you to give me a true token now." Let me tell you, some of you that hadn't been saved a very long time, the devil will make you doubt. But if you can go to a place and a time where God dealt with you as a sinner and you come to Him by faith, the Bible declares that you're saved by the grace of God. I'm glad the Holy Spirit lives in me tonight. And so she wanted a true token. And then notice her burden in verse 13. That's one of the greatest ways that you know if you're really born again, if you want others to have what you've got. The Bible said, "And that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So we see her burden. Oh, we need a burden, church. I'm afraid we're short on burdens. As the brother prayed tonight, no doubt in my mind, this is one of the greatest churches in America. No doubt in my mind. But be careful, because I'm afraid we've lost our burden. Hope God done something in us this morning. Hope He'll do something in us tonight. Boy, I wish God had put a burden in us in such a way that we would be a light shining in this dark world. We'd reach out our hands to sinners that nobody else wanted. Let me tell you, Jesus wants them. And I'll remind you, Jesus never cleaned a fish till He caught it first. And so I sure am glad there is the saving of our faith. But fourthly, I didn't get to this point this morning. There is the showing of her faith. Not only the searching and the stirring and the saving, but now the showing of her faith. In verse number 18, look at the worth of it. The Bible said, "Behold, we come in the land. Thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by." Can I tell you this? This scarlet line saved others. Oh, I'm glad it saved me one day. Can I tell you, it worked for others. It worked for our forefathers. Can I tell you, this kind of church, this old bloody religion that we preach, it saved others. It'll save you tonight. It saved Grandpa and it saved Grandma. And thank God, it's still the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's still the blood tonight. Matter of fact, He didn't say just put any old scarlet line up in the window, but put this line in the window. I'm going to stay on this line. You'll read about this, and some of the commentators will think, well, maybe it was a rope, maybe it was a towel, maybe it was a curtain, but they'll all agree on one thing, honey, the color of it. Thank God it is the crimson blood of the darling Lamb of God. As John seen Him yonder across the river, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad it's still the blood tonight. You say, well, preacher, people are offended by the blood. Well, you'll not get to heaven without the blood. And so certainly there is the showing of her faith, the worth of it. Verse 18, it had saved others. Boy, I'm glad it has saved me. And I want to say tonight, it still works. Turn around, tell somebody by you, it still works. Still works. Thank God it saved others. It'll save you tonight. And so we see the showing of her faith, the worth of it. Then verse 19, I love this, the whosoever of it. It shall be that whosoever shall go out, and whosoever shall come in. I'm glad the blood is sufficient tonight. Whosoever, who is that? That's you, and that's me. I'm glad the Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, I love that word. You know, men have got off balance out of the field of this word. Can I tell you, Jesus paid a ransom for all. He created hell for the devil and his angels. He never created hell to put you in. God never, no place in your Bible can you show me where God ever predestined nobody to heaven or hell. Once we believe, we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Well, what do we have to do first? We had to believe and become a part of the church. Predestination's always got to do with a church, not individuals. He wants the church to be conformed to the image of His Son. I say, somebody said He died for a select few. Hogwash. Hogwash. The Bible said He paid a ransom for all. And I'm glad this word's still in our Bibles. And preacher boys, don't go to heaven without it. Whosoever, let them come. Whosoever will, let them take of the water of life freely. Thank God, whosoever will, let them come tonight. The showing of her faith, the worth of it, the whosoever. Verse 21, the witness of it. And she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away and they departed and she bound. Wanted to be sure the wind wouldn't blow it away.
She bound the scarlet line in the window. Can I tell you, she had her blood-stained banner out, letting people know what side that they on. Can I tell you, I'm on Calvary's side. It is a bloody side. It's a blood-washed side. But thank God I've got something put up in the window tonight telling you, it's still the blood. It's still the blood. Thank God, young'uns, it's still the blood tonight. That old blood-stained banner, hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to preach it till I go home. It's still the blood. And whosoever will, let them come. Oh, Lord, that sure is good preaching on Sunday night. There is the showing of her faith. Now, I want to say this. Others could see it. You say, well, preacher, they don't know if I'm a Christian or not. You ain't got to have a sign around your neck tell people you're a Christian. Especially in this day and hour we live, friend. Boy, 1 John 1 and verse number 7. Underline this in your Bible. 1 John 1 and verse number 7. If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I will make 2 points right here tonight and get to the last point. This word cleanseth. Wish I'd applied myself a little better in school. But I do know the last part of that word tells me something. It don't end with an ED. It means it's an ongoing process. Once we're put under the blood in the family of God, it cleanseth us from how many sin? All sin. Somebody asked me one time, said, preacher, I realize the sins I done before I asked God to save me. When I asked Him to save me, preacher, I realize that them sins are forgiven. But what about them on this side of my salvation I committed? Well, let me ask you what the Bible said. Does He say them sins that you committed before you asked Him to save you? And then let me ask you another thing. If Jesus died 2,000 years ago, you was born after that, neighbor, and all the sins you committed, either before you got saved or after you got saved, there's all future from the cross. Somebody ain't listening to me tonight. Let me tell you, it ain't no old sins and it ain't no new sin. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That has to do with fellowship, not forgiveness. Amen. We must forsake and we must confess our sins. And our great high priest, the Lord Jesus, forgives us of our sins. But honey, let me tell you something. If I have a bad thought or if I've lost my temper and the rapture comes, and what if I hadn't confessed that sin? Does it mean I'm going to be here? Hogwash, neighbor. I'm glad the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all of our sin. All of our sin. Oh, man, if I believed that, I'd stay in the corn crib with blinders on and total confession all day. Hey, we're saved by the blood. We're saved. There's freedom. There's liberty. Thank God the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Them you done yesterday and them you'll do tomorrow. There's all future at the cross. Y'all say, preacher, and that's good preaching from a country preacher. Some of y'all won't say amen. You don't believe that. Stay in bondage. I'm going to believe my Bible. I'm glad He cleanseth us from all of our sin. That don't give us a license to sin. God said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. But when we do mess up, ain't you glad God will take a mess up and make something good out of it? Matter of fact, we is all a bunch of mess-ups, a bunch of misfits, a bunch of throwbacks. We all ought to have been in hell tonight. There's none good, no, not one. But the darling Lamb of God from Calvary's cross said the blood of darling Son will forgive you of all your sin tonight. My sins is gone. Lord, we ought to sing, "I'll Fly Away" now. Our sins is gone. Poor old people got to hunt a pope down and hunt him down and confess to him. No, honey, our great high priest is ever on standby. He's ever on guard. He loves his children. I'm glad I'm blood washed. Thank God I'm heaven bound with a hammer down tonight. Glory to God. I'm glad I'm in the blood wash band. Boy, she put it in the window for everybody to see it. You know, then, lastly tonight, not only we find God sent witnesses, God sent messengers in searching for faith. Isn't that just like God sends somebody right into a bad place to help them along life's way? If we was all perfect, we wouldn't need each other, would we? I mean, man, if we was perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need each other. Matter of fact, I want to listen to me tonight, church. I want to be like Eutychus, but I want to be different. I want to lean in instead of out. When I fall, I want to fall in on top of somebody in the church. I don't want to fall out of the church. Watch this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but the more as you see the day approaching. What's that tell us? It tells us we need to be congregated together, telling the old, old story, encouraging one another. And when we make a mistake and we fall and we've repented of that thing, let me tell you, we are to restore one another. We're to have freedom and liberty in the Holy Ghost. There's no big ones. There's no little ones. And you're going to find out, friend, in your marriage and raising young ones and raising grandbabies, you're going to need the grace of God about you. And so this gets to the last point. And it is the not only the showing of our faith, but turn now over to the right in chapter 6, verse 22. And let's look at the security of our faith. The security of our faith. Well, you'll notice this. And do you remember this morning that I told you to underline that her house was on the wall? She let them spies down off the wall with that scarlet cord in her window. And those that it had saved before would save her. But her house, the Bible said, it was on the wall. Now watch the security of it. The Bible said, verse 17, verse 16, come to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, and it's still all right to do this, Baptist, shout. For the Lord hath given. Oh, I'd scare you if I'd done what I wanted to do. Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. There's a land that is fairer than day. Got a glimpse of it. And watch this. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot. Underline that.
I'm going to come back to it. It's going to be my last point. Underline that, Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are with her in the house. Ain't that just like God? I want to say the security of her faith, Brother Joe, first of all, He saved her from a fall. I'm glad I've got saved from a fall. You know why we all in the mess run it way back down to our ascendance in the garden? We all messed up because of a fall. Oh, not my babies. Yep, your babies. And guess what, hon? You too. We got messed up in the garden. That bloodline run all the way back over yonder to Adam and Eve. And her house was on the wall and it fell, but she was saved from a fall. Glad I've been saved from a fall. Isn't that just like God? I don't know how He done it. I just know He done it. I don't know how that a whale swallowed a backslidden preacher and kept him in there till he hollered calf rope and spit him up on the bank. And he went to running ready to mind God. I don't know how that happened. I just know it happened. Now, I know the Bible said the wall fell down flat. But He saved her from a fall. Number two, not only did it save her from a fall, watch this. This thing gets better. The Bible said this, verse 20, look. And with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. 21, they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, women, young, old, ox, sheep, ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men that had spied out the country, go to the harlot's house, bring out thence the woman, all that she hath, as you swear to her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother, her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Verse 24. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, on the silver, gold, and the vessels of brass, of iron, they put in the treasure of the house of the Lord. And Joshua, the Greek word for Jesus, saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household and all that she had. Not only did the security of this blood save her from a fall, but in verse 24, it saved her from a fire. I'm glad it ain't 100 preachers here tonight. They'd run over y'all. They burnt the city, but it spared her. Can I tell you, the Bible said in the book of Malachi, chapter number 4, it's coming a time when this world's going to burn like an oven. Can I tell you that hell is a real place consumed with fire tonight? And certainly the security of her faith. She was saved from a fall. She is saved from a fire. Now, I told you to underline something and I'm done. I want to show you this Bible principle. Now, in verse 17, I told you to underline this. And the Lord only Rahab the harlot. You got it? Rahab the harlot. Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. And let's look at what she was, but now let's look at what she is. She was saved from a fall, she is saved from a fire, but I'm going to tell you, she was saved forever. Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Watch this. Now, I told you to underline over there where the Bible showed her only Rahab the harlot. Now, in the hall of faith where all the heroes of our faith are at, look how God lists her. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab, not Rahab the harlot. In Joshua 6, it says Rahab the harlot. Note the emphasis is on what she is in Joshua 6. Oh, my Lord.
I wanted to tell that so bad this morning, but I just couldn't get. But by faith, she put the scarlet line in the window. Now in Hebrews 11, God lists her different as the harlot Rahab, not Rahab the harlot. Note that emphasis now is on what she was, not who she is. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood. I'll just make it up as I go. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me. Y'all do the singing, I'll do the preaching around here. Now watch what your Bible says. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 19. I love what this says. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in by the holiest, by the blood of Jesus. Verse 17, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. By faith, the harlot Rahab, not Rahab the harlot. You see, in glory, there's nothing after her. I seen that. And I got to calling everybody I knowed. Ain't it something the way the world sees us? But when that blood's applied to us, God sees us different. The security of the blood.